Take over the world. Have we got a few of us here tonight? Enough of us. Hey, Samantha, we just need a couple of dreamers. I like that word.
Amen.
I really witnessed to that word tonight. That there's a whole lot of dreaming going on. Are you going to be part of the dreaming society? Because you can be part of the has-been society. You know, the when-we's. Oh, back in the good old days. When we were here and when we did that and when this happened. Or we can be part of the dreaming society who say, God is doing wonderful things and the best is yet to come. But it's not in the so distant future. It's starting right now. Your dream is starting right now. Amen? Oh, I like that. I like that. I want to get around some dreamers here. Amen.
Amen.
I was thinking about what to share with you tonight, not knowing who would be here, but I believe the right people came out. You can tell the person next to you that it's obviously you. He's the Lord wants to got a word for you tonight. That's you. Amen.
Amen.
And my mind went all the way back to Genesis. And I was thinking about the fall of man in the garden and kind of pondering the whole situation of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and asking myself, so what's the big deal? You know, what was the big deal? What was the big crime anyway? You know, a little bit of fruit from another tree. And, you know, it depends who you ask that question to, what answer you'll get. For some, it's clearly, it was an act of disobedience. God said, do not touch, and they touched. So it was clearly disobedient. I think that's partly. Also, we come to understand that man had been created in the image of God, and when he fell for the subtle lie of, the day you partake of this, you'll be like God. Man put into doubt what God had said to him in the first place. And God had created him in his image. And now he thought he had to come into agreement with the devil's lie in order to find himself back in that position. So the whole issue is a trust issue. God designed men and women with a free will to walk in a loving trust relationship where we trust what he's got to say to us, where we just trust him enough to know when he says it is like it is, we don't have to doubt it, and certainly we don't have to come into agreement with his arch enemy, Satan, to establish what God has already promised he would do. So my mind kind of been flitting around this whole subject of God's original intent. And if you want to take up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, and Genesis chapter 3, and from verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. And if you're not familiar with the story, I don't want to read the whole section, but we do know that man fell from his God-given image and fell into fear and condemnation and shame and guilt. Because something very real happened when man came into agreement with the enemy. You see, when we come into agreement with a lie, that lie gets power over our lives. And that's how Satan is empowered in the world today, is through agreement When we agree with his lies, we empower his lies to operate. And God had given man through the free will an enormous privilege of co-stewarding authority over the planet that he was living on. Because the planet wasn't altogether perfect when this is written. We see that in Genesis 1 verse 1, God created the world perfectly. But then the world became without form and void. And there was a rebellion in heaven. A third of the angels fell. And God wanted to take authority back and enforce his authority on this planet through creating man. And in partnership with man, man would enforce and subdue and take back through living in relationship with God, take back what was rightfully God's. I mean, God could have, with one sniff of his nostril, one flick of his little finger, have destroyed all that was dark. But he chose that through man, he was going to reclaim the planet. And the whole story of Genesis was supposed to be the beginning of a wonderful adventure and a wonderful domination of man coming back and subduing and taking authority. But instead, he relinquishes that authority by coming into agreement with Satan. Yes, it was partially disobedience, but it was more than that. He actually gave away his nature-subduing authority to the enemy. Because later in the scripture, it speaks about Satan as being the god of this world. And he came to be the god of this world because man had handed over the keys of authority. In fact, so much so that if you go to Matthew chapter 4, and the temptation of Jesus in the desert, when Satan came to him and said, in fact, let's turn there. We're going to look at a few scriptures. Matthew 4. The computer's going to be quicker than me here tonight. I'm not going to read the whole section, but it's... who's got the Bible with them tonight? Okay, chapter 4, you'll see, probably your subheading is the temptation of Jesus, or something like that. And it has to do with... Jesus being led into the desert for 40 days and facing Prince of Darkness head on. And then the devil said, if you be the Son of God, you can turn these stones into bread. If you're the Son of God, bow down and worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms. And says here in verse 8 of chapter 4, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And all this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. It's interesting that it's the very same temptation that Satan had fallen for when he was Lucifer, when he was in heaven conducting the worship of the cosmos, the same desire to usurp the authority of God. He wanted the Son of God to bow down and worship him. Bible says he's the God of this world. And he offered Jesus a shortcut to come into his authority. And he said, if you bow down and worship me. But unlike first Adam, who came into agreement with the devil's lie and lost the keys of life and death and authority over the planet, the last Adam doesn't come into agreement with the devil, but he stands on what God has said. He comes into agreement with God's word. You see, God had empowered man through agreement with God to subdue and take authority and to reign over the planet, over the cosmos, over the universes. God, from Genesis 1, that was going to have communities of worshipping sons and daughters that were in a love relationship with him, that wherever they switched the light on, darkness would disappear. See, it wasn't going to be this big, you know, kung fu, Star Wars, intergalactic battle with the powers of darkness. And yin and yang, you know, equal powers. No, God's way more powerful than his created devils and demons and fallen angels. All that was going to happen is, as mankind came into agreement with God and lived in a loving, worshipping relationship, it was going to be like man was going to be flicking on lights all over the planet, starting in the garden. The rest of the planet that was under the control of these fallen angels were just going to be driven away like light is driven away when you switch a light on in the room. There's no argument from the darkness to the light. There's no discussion. How can you treat me this way? Don't you know who I am, O Prince of Darkness? No, click, bye-bye. Light on, darkness gone. That's how simple it was going to be. As you had communities of believers worshipping God, starting in the garden, filling the planet, living in agreement with Him, light was going to come to the planet, and darkness would have to go find another place. But God created this planet as the pearl of His creation, perfectly positioned, perfectly situated in the very cosmos that holds it all together, the one perfect dwelling place for the man He had created, and that's where Satan and his hordes targeted to set up their fortresses to stand against God's purposes, and God says, I'm going to drive them out of here. But man came into agreement with darkness, and he retained his title as God of this world. And it took Jesus coming to come back into the situation and bring about godly rule again on this planet. And how does he do it? Jesus says, it is written. You know, some of us have got a picture of Jesus like he was floating 3 inches above the ground, and he had supernatural miracle power just oozing out of his body. That's not totally correct. Jesus actually gave that up. He could have had it if he wanted it, but he actually chose to voluntarily lay down all his supernatural deity and become a man just like you and me, and live on this planet and rightfully enforce his Father's victory by agreement with his Father, it is written, as a man, not as God. If we don't understand that, we will think that Jesus had an advantage on us. He was kind of, yeah, but he was God, I'm just a man. No, Jesus was fully a man. You know, Jesus had to also get up in the morning, brush his teeth, comb his hair, and live by faith. He had to come into agreement with the word of his Father, it is written, and live by faith. He couldn't take shortcuts like, where did my mother leave that toothpaste? Let me just do a little miracle here. Nobody saw that. No, of course he could have, but he limited himself. He limited himself voluntarily. He laid down that right so he could live as a man. But he did have a huge advantage over you and I. What was that? He was sinless. Because he never had a sinful nature. He wasn't born with a sinful nature. He was born like first Adam, without a sinful nature. He was born like you had to be born again. Without it, when your sinful nature is dealt with at the cross. And secondly, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Up until then, man couldn't be filled with the Spirit. Spirit could come upon you for a specific task, for a brief moment. But why couldn't the Holy Spirit live in people up to that time? Because they weren't holy. They hadn't been made holy. They hadn't been forgiven all their sins. The only reason you and I can be a temple of the Holy Spirit is when we have subjected ourselves to the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. And we then, the advantages Jesus had was a sinless life and full of the Holy Spirit are the same two advantages we have through the cross. We are forgiven of all our sin, past, present, and future. The sinful nature is dealt with. And we now become temples of the Holy Spirit. Jesus lived on earth as the first born-again person. Because if he was living today, he'd be like your twin brother in the spirit. Now granted, the difference is his mind wouldn't be filled with all the bad memories and all the practices and activities and stuff that we subjected ourselves to in the life, our BC life. You know what your BC life is, eh? your before Christ life. Those memory banks still got retain some of those old memories and stuff, and every now and then they come and tell you that's who you are, and you get reminded it's not who you are, because you're a new creation, you're a new species of being in the Spirit. But that's how Jesus lived. Jesus had to live in agreement with the Word of God. And then if you jump forward to Matthew 28, well, in Matthew, let's go to Matthew 16 before we go to Matthew 28. His disciples are speaking to him and asking him who he is, and Jesus says, who do the people say? And some say Elijah, some say this prophet, that prophet. Jesus says, who do you say I am? Verse 16 of chapter 16, thanks. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, you'll see you've probably got a footnote in your Bible that says, whatever you bind on earth has been bound in heaven. It's in the aorist present. So it's whatever is bound in heaven, whatever is not permitted to operate in heaven. Okay? All the things that Satan, through his dominion on earth, brought through agreement, sin, sickness, and poverty, the things that Satan introduced because that's part of who his nature is, those things are not permitted in heaven. So the things that aren't permitted in heaven, like the Hong Kong flu and the Wall Street crash, those things aren't permitted in heaven. They happen on earth because of man's agreement with Satan and his lies and his greed. But we can switch a light on by coming into agreement with God. That's the key. Those are the keys the church has been given. Whatever we agree, whatever we permit on earth that's been permitted in heaven, or whatever we don't permit on earth that hasn't been permitted in heaven, that's the authority the church has. Now, first Adam had that authority when he was created. And he could go around switching the lights on and bringing God's rule to bear on earth. That was the commission. Go multiply. Go and subdue the planet. Give them names. Have fun. Plummet the depths of technology and do some intergalactic scheme. Whatever blows your hair back. But man, you know, people show these pictures of like how the monkeys have evolved into humans. I think it's more like it's the other way around. You know? God didn't create us as monkeys. He created us as fully functioning people who are using all the gray matter. We devolved because of sin, poverty, sickness, and disease. Thank you for sharing in my sense of humor. Matthew chapter 28. We're getting there. Got a few more books to get through here. Matthew 28. And Jesus says in verse 18. Then Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. We refer to this as the Great Commission. This is where Jesus now hasn't taken a shortcut through the devils offering him the kingdoms of the world, which were the devils to give in the first place. Or else he couldn't have said, if you bow, I'll give you these kingdoms. They had to belong to him in the first place for him to offer them. Jesus didn't contest that and say, well, they're not yours in the first place. No, they were his. Jesus had to actually legally take them back, and he did that through his righteous life and through his death, burial and resurrection took the keys of hell and death. And then called his church together and said, these are the keys I'm giving you. If you will walk in agreement, it is written what your father says. If you come into agreement with your father says, and you can permit on earth what's permitted in heaven, and you can not permit on earth what's not permitted in heaven. I'm giving you all authority. How much is all? All is all. All authority. Now, the enemy didn't roll over and play dead at this point. Because we see all hell broke out and persecution against the early church. Because the Bible says that a little while after this, they were gathered together and suddenly a sound like a rushing wind and the Holy Spirit fell and they were filled. For the first time, the Holy Spirit actually used human vessels as his temple on earth. This was God living on earth. You know God is in his holy temple right now. Here are the pieces. Here are the bricks. Here's his temple. God is in his temple. Now religion has tried to mix it all up. And I'm not going to try and cover that. We covered that this morning. Religion tried to come and bring separation between God's presence and living in us. And how we have to now perform in order to get the Holy Spirit operating on earth, working in us, working through us. But that was never his intention. God's intention was always the same intention he had in the beginning, was for us to subdue and take authority and rule. That's a big dream. This is more than just clapping hands at church on Sunday and singing some new songs. This is about, can I come into agreement with God the same way Jesus walked without sin in my life, filled with the Holy Spirit? The Bible says that Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were under this devil's control. It says in Acts 10 verse 38, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, went about doing good and healing everyone who was under the devil's control. 1 John, should we read that? Because I feel like I'm... let's just jump. Okay, so we passed the day of Pentecost. We passed the day of Pentecost. And we now going to just do a little summary reading of the life of Jesus. Acts 10:38. Thank you. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Remember, he said all authority. How much authority? All authority has been given us. In case we don't know that, Romans chapter 16 verse 20 says the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Romans 16 verse 20. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Just in case you didn't believe me what I said about 2 Corinthians just now. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light. Say the light. Of the gospel. Of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You see, it's light that the gospel brings. Our agreement with Jesus about the gospel is what switches the light on. When we preach the gospel, the kingdom will be demonstrated. Whenever we preach God's finished work at the cross and his undeserved, unmerited favor, whenever we tell and proclaim the work of the cross, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is close enough to touch. And people have to reach out and take hold of it. And Jesus said, you can't enter that kingdom until you're born again. What has to happen to be born again? We have to be crucified with Christ, buried, and raised with him. Which happens in our spirit outside of time. When Jesus was crucified, we are identified with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. That's how the kingdom is entered into, and that's how the kingdom is going to advance. But the god of this age, it says there, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory, who's the image of God. Okay, we're halfway through the New Testament. Should we just keep going? Woo, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. How's it going there with the border? Are you keeping up? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The devil didn't roll over and play dead, because the church has been recommissioned with the original commission to enforce God's kingdom back on planet Earth. And we do that not by setting up religion, but by enforcing what Jesus has already done at the cross when He came and brought life. We were listening in the car today. What is that word? Poneros. Poneros is the Greek word for evil. You know, when Jesus taught us to pray and He said, He taught the disciples to pray, sorry. When Jesus was teaching His disciples to pray, a beautiful prayer that means so much to us today, and He said to them,
"Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Lead us not into temptation.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from." That word poneros, in its three inclinations, or that fancy word that means when you break a word up. Declensions. Sorry. In its three declensions, you knew that word, eh? Declensions. Oh, come on, you're going to just... Is the root from which we get the word evil, the root from which we get the word poverty, and the word from which we get the word sickness. Sin, sickness, and poverty are declined from the word poneros. And Jesus said, that's what I'm coming to destroy. That's the work of the evil one. The devil has come to rob, kill, and destroy, but I've come that they may have life and have life more abundantly. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. And when you know that all authority has been given to you, that we have the keys to permit what is permitted in heaven and not to permit what hasn't been permitted in heaven, we take up the same authority that Jesus had on earth. No wonder He said, the works that I do, you will do, and even greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I was only in one place at one time, but you're going to be thousands and tens of thousands and millions on this planet doing the works that I did. And for most part, the church have just sung hymns on Sunday. Hello? The God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. 1 John. Chapter 3. And verse 8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The reason, can you see the second part of verse 8? The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4 verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And verse 17 of chapter 4. In this way love has been completed amongst us, and we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like Him. That's something to get excited about.
Glory.
And chapter 5, verse 19. For we know that we are the children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Verse 20, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, even His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal Father. As He is, so are we in this world. The world is under the control of the evil one. They are coming into agreement with Him and demonstrating what His kingdom looks like. But Jesus has come and given the church the keys of life, the keys of Zoe life, to switch the light on where the enemy has come to kill, rob and destroy. And we have to be in agreement with what is written in order to enforce the victory of God over the world. But even when we preach a message like this, it sets the level so high in most of our minds that we think, no, just give me ordinary three hymns and a poem Christianity, because that kind of Christianity surely is going to set us up for disillusionment. It's going to set us up for despondency. It's going to set us up for failure if we don't achieve and arrive. So I needed to say that to take the pressure off you right now and say, it's not up to you to make God's word true. It's about you coming into agreement with God's word. There's no pressure on you to make God's word true. We just have to agree with God's word. As Andrew Womack says, our problem isn't faith. Our problem is unbelief. Because we've got all the faith that we need. Faith was deposited. Faith was given to us. Our problem is, Lord, help us with our unbelief. We do have faith. Help us with our unbelief. Lord, I do believe. I do have faith. But help me with my unbelief. Because it's unbelief that is pulling in the opposite direction. And that's why the words that come out of my mouth are going to either create life or they're going to create death. And I can't undo years and years of sowing death by occasional little sprinkling of life. Speaking life has got to become a lifestyle. And I've got to keep on speaking life in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the most severe darkness and power failure. I've got to keep speaking light. Because as I keep speaking light, my faith eventually is going to tell my unbelief to climb out the back door. And faith is going to take control. And I'll believe that in this world I am what He says I am. I can do what He says I can do. I have what He says I can do. For this purpose Jesus was manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. And we've been given that same authority, nature subduing authority in this life, now to enforce the kingdom of God. I tell you what, that is a dream worth having. Amen. That's a big dream. Let's just say thank you to the Lord tonight, because that's a promise worth holding on to, a promise worth believing. And the God of peace is going to crush Satan underneath your feet. Come on. Come on. He's going to crush him. Because as you come into agreement with God's word, you are empowering God's victory that He already won at the cross. You see, because by you come into agreement, you're not twisting God's arm. You're not creating a miracle. You're just in agreement with a miracle that's already happened. And you're saying, all I've got to do is flip the switch so that the miracle that already happened at the cross can be put on display in this world so people can see what my Father's kingdom looks like. And His kingdom is righteousness, peace and joy. It's not a matter of talk, but a matter of power. That's the kingdom of God. Jesus said, this message of the kingdom is going to be preached in every nation as a testimony. We've got to preach the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because only that way can we begin releasing the kingdom message over the nations so they can see what God really looks like. So that He can get praise and glory. Dream big, church. The time to dream. Amen?
Amen.
This is the time to dream.
Amen.
Let's stand up together, because we've only got a few minutes left. And I want you to just kind of capture something of what this has meant for you. You know, if we had to interview you now, if we took 10 people up to the front here and asked 10 different people what God spoke to them through the word tonight, you know, you'd get 10 different things. You'd get 10 different angles of view. But maybe that's the angle you need right now. Maybe that angle you got is the angle you need. And now all we got to do is say, what are those dreams that God has put inside of your spirit? What is that dream that He's put inside of your spirit? And we've got to say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth. We take the key of permitting on earth what is permitted in heaven. And that's a whole lot of stuff. Let me tell you, it's a whole lot. Because there's a whole lot that's allowed in heaven that we don't see demonstrated on earth. And there's stuff happening in your life that you know is not from God. Let me tell you, there's a whole lot of stuff happening on earth that's not allowed in heaven. Yeah. And we've got to come in agreement tonight with what's allowed in heaven and what's not allowed in heaven. Because as we do that, His kingdom breaks in. So right now, just whatever that means for you, in your spirit right now, in your spirit, whatever that means for you, what is not permitted? What is not permitted? We adjure you in the name of Jesus. Foul spirit of infirmity, spirit of poverty, you evil, promiscuous spirit, we take authority over you in Jesus' name. You not permitted. You spirit of porno, we break you in this place. Because you're not allowed in heaven. You're not allowed on earth. We restrict you. We refuse you, you foul spirit from the pit of hell. We tell you, you're not in heaven. You're not going to be in our lives. You pornographic spirit, we break your hold. You drug addictive spirit, we break your hold tonight over people's minds and lives. That spirit of poverty mindedness, we refuse you tonight. We serve a big God with big purposes and big dreams that's going to require big truckloads of resources for the kingdom to advance. So we break your hold off you. Poverty spirit, we spit on you tonight. We stand on you. We crush you under our feet. You foul spirit of lack and poverty. And you spirit of sickness, you're not permitted in our lives, our children's lives. We stand against you. We adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ right now. And we thank you, Father, for righteousness, peace, and joy to flood our hearts. We thank you that we are who you said we are. Lord, we are seated in Christ in heavenly places. We have an abundance in you. You are our resource. And Spirit of God, open our eyes tonight. Open our eyes tonight. Take of those scales. Take of those scales, Lord. Take of those scales tonight. Let them just fall off. Where the God of this world has blinded our minds. Take those scales off, Lord. Tonight. Scales off. Blindness to the gospel, off. Blindness to the truth, you religious spirit, off. Right now in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, we are going to become light switches in the kingdom of God. Light increases in the kingdom of God. Oh, basta bekere sta kala mondi shabakanda shembere basira bosom boratastama tende la gesela masasaya rabostoro. If you've never been filled with the Spirit, just lift up your hands. Spirit of God, would you just fall upon people in this place tonight? Spirit of God, as you did in the book of Acts, sovereignly, Lord, just would you just fall on people, Lord, in this place tonight. people who don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, would you come and just open minds, open eyes, open hearts right now to the glorious gospel. It's your work. It's your miracle work right now, Lord. Come. Lord, where there's depression, Lord, may it be released now over people's lives. Lord, where there's fear, all fear, we come against you. We remind you that you are not allowed or permitted in heaven. And we declare right now, this is the dwelling place of God. Right here, wherever we put our foot, He's given to us. Jesus ran the race when we weren't looking and He won the prize. And by the time we turned around, He'd already got the prize for us. And we are taking it with both hands, holding up His trophy high. All authority He took and He's given to us. All authority in His name. And we're going to exercise it. We're going to walk in it. We're going to enjoy it. We're going to proclaim it. We're not going to apologize for it. We're going to revel in it. We're going to be delighted in this place tonight. Glory of your name. So right now, if you don't know if you're born again, if you don't know if you're born again right now, won't you just in your heart say, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who was slain for my sin, whose blood was shed, who was buried and raised again, I believe. That's all. And now I want to come into agreement with you. That's you tonight. You say, tonight I'm believing to be born again. That is the most awesome miracle that could happen to you. And you say, that's me. Then, and you want to come into agreement. I want you to lift up your hands because I want to come into agreement with you where you're standing. Just lift up both hands now, just as an act of surrender. That's right. I'll come into agreement with these wonderful people tonight, Lord. And I say, may the kingdom of God break into their lives just where they're standing. That's right. Just where you're standing. Just close your eyes. Lift your hands up. Pierre, maybe you guys at the back there can just, a couple of you can just go lay hands on a couple of those guys right at the back. Just go lay hands on them and just allow the kingdom just to break into their lives. Any of the other guys, Johnny, Dave, Jim, just go. I didn't want to disturb them by calling them up because the Lord's moving on them where they're standing. Just in the back row there. Just go and lay hands. Just allow the kingdom of God to break into their lives. Break into their lives. And if you're needing to be full of the Spirit now, I tell you what, it doesn't get better than this. It doesn't get better than to be in a place where people have got some hunger. And not the kind of hunger that because they're hungry, because they're empty. No, we're all full. It's a kind of hunger. It's because we're full. It's an expectancy. There's an expectancy in this place. An expectancy. So right now, we just pray, Father, where people are just saying, Lord, fill me with your presence. Fill me with your power. Touch me. Bible says you will receive power when that the Holy Spirit comes on you. It says of the early believers in Samaria, they heard about Jesus, but they had not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a separate occasion to being born again of the Spirit. You receive the Spirit when you're born again, but to be baptized in the Spirit is a separate event. And if you know that you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you're saying, tonight I'm expectant, then just come out to the front right now. Just step out of your seats, say, I really don't care who thinks what about this, but I'm expectant. If you know you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and tonight you're saying, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, just come and stand in the front, yeah? Because some people are going to get to pray with you. Somehow, I don't want anyone leaving without an assurance of salvation. I don't want anyone leaving without the empowering that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. Praise God. The fact that I don't see anyone up here means there's a whole lot of baptized people. So, Father, we just thank you as we leave this place tonight, as we go in victory, as we go in your joy and your love, wherever we go, we're going to just take back. We're going to take back for you. We're taking back our children for you. We're taking back our homes for you. We're taking back our workplace for you. We're taking back our marriages for you. We're taking back those finances that we were robbed of for you. We're taking back, Lord, those opportunities for you. We're taking back this church, this community, and this city. In Jesus' name, we're taking back what you've given to us, what you have given to us. No man can receive anything unless it's given to him from God. We don't want what belongs to others. We don't want another man's wife, and we don't want another man's husband, wife's husband. We want what comes from you. So if you're a single person, and you are longing for partnership, and you're longing, or you're a mother and longing for a child, and whatever is yours is coming from the Father right now, whatever is yours, just receive. Receive, receive, receive. Receive. God's pouring out gifts here. If it was up to me, I would have closed and had coffee a long time ago. But God's giving out gifts here tonight. God's giving out gifts in this place. Desire for companionship, you're a good desire. And what's permitted in heaven is permitted on earth. Receive. Oh, stomachasi and rabasta ba 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 ba. Shamba sekende rabashekende la masakonde rosashende la masiye la masaba ba ba ba. The desire to work, the desire to work is a good desire. It's permitted in heaven. So if you're unhappy in your job, God's got something for you that will fulfill you. And God's got something that will also fill your pockets so that you can be generous on every occasion. And in your generosity, be a blessing to other people. Receive, 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 receive. By faith, agree, agree, agree with what God's got for you right now. That's right. Oh, Bashaba Kasia, Baba 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 Shabanda. Shamba Baba Sebe, Baby, 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 Baby. Oh, yes, yes. Oh, brush the candy, Seba Baba Baba. Shira Boshebo Koshanda Bashakende. Receive, 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 receive. He's got more, he's got more, he's got more. He's got more, he's got more, he's got more, he's got more. Oh, he's got more, he's got more, he's got more, he's got more, he's got more. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, the fields are white. The fields are white. The fields are white. Fields are white. See the Lord putting a sickle in your hands. Because these fields are white. Putting a sickle in your hands. Oh, throw your net on the left side. You've been throwing it too long on the right side. Throw it on the left side. Throw it on the left side. Yes, Lord. 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 Some of you have been living too long in the seeing is believing. If I see it, I'll believe it. Tonight, believe it and you'll see it. Tonight is a word of faith. Tonight, God has put a credit card in your hands and said, you don't see what's behind the but as you engage with what I'm doing, you will see the release of what I've given for you. It's not seeing is believing. Tonight is about believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. Dreams. Not the kind of future dreams of hoping, but the present dreams of reality. Dreams. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I just really felt this on my heart, and just to share with you guys, I just really saw a picture of almost like an anointing just coming upon Highway. And just the ability to recognize supernatural giftings over one another. And just that as the word says, we no longer regard one another in a worldly way, but we look at each other as spiritual sons and daughters. And that God is just, he's opening your eyes just to see supernaturally the giftings that your friends, your family, just everyone around us just has. And he's giving you the wisdom and just the counsel, just to learn how to work with other people who have unique giftings. And just how to just build the body. And just realize that we can't do everything on our own. And that we need a support system around us. We need people around us who has giftings that can build us where we're weak. and we can impart and give where they're weak, and we can just build one another. But yeah, so I just release a supernatural anointing just to recognize gift things right now. And just God give an understanding on the gifts that you've given. And that it doesn't limit us. Gifting does not limit, but it expounds and just opens you up just to experience more of God.
Just want to say to the ladies in the coffee bar, we appreciate you and love you. And your service is going to be well received now. Amen. God bless you. Have a fantastic week. If you need prayer for anything, or hang around the front, just someone will find you. And if no one does, come tap on my shoulder. I'll find someone for you. Amen. God bless.